Commissioner Lockwood Mayor presiding.
Please be seated. The last case to be argued this morning is Richmond Properties LLC versus Medina County Board of Revision et al., number 2013-386. And we'll hear argument this morning from the appellant only, the Board of Revision County Auditor, represented by Mr. Carnes. Please present your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name's Nathan Carnes. I'm here on behalf of the Honorable Dean Holman, Medina County Prosecutor, representing the Medina County Auditor, Medina County Board of Revision, in case number, Supreme Court case number 130386. The complainant in this tax appeal and appellee here is Richmond Properties LLC, and they're represented below by their member and president, Patrick Bush. The county requests that this court reverse the decision of the Board of Tax Appeals and remand the matter for further proceedings. There are two basic points in this case that we contest. The first has to do with the unauthorized practice of law. We believe that the Board of Tax Appeals allowed Mr. Bush to engage in the unauthorized practice of law and further considered his arguments in cross-examination when reaching their decision. We believe that's error. Secondly, we believe that the sale used as determinative of value was not recent to the tax lien date, not in temporal proximity, but in terms of the character of the property.
Let me ask you about the first part of the argument. What is the standard of review for this unauthorized practice of law issue? Should the court say that the BTA has discretion to deal with the situation that it's confronted with and review an abuse of discretion, or is it a more stringent review?
We believe that the standard is outlined fairly clearly in Dayton, Tool and Supply versus Montgomery County Board of Revision, that that in this fact pattern where a member or president is representing an LLC, they're allowed to make factual arguments only. Any activities typically reserved to a lawyer are forbidden to non-attorneys in this context.
Of course, in Dayton Supply, the actual issue that the court had to decide was the issue of filing the valuation complaint,
correct.
But the court then went on and made comments about the conduct of the hearing.
Yes, sir.
Is there any case that you're aware of where a court has reversed findings of fact based on the unauthorized practice of law during the trial or the hearing of the case?
I'm not aware, no.
So this would be really almost a first impression kind of?
To the best of my knowledge, yes. There was a motion in limine presented at the Board of Tax Appeals, and that was explicitly overruled in the Board of Tax Appeals decision, and we believe the Board of Tax Appeals decision misstates the law. We felt it was necessary to bring that to the attention of the Supreme Court, and we believe that the Supreme Court has the power and authority to reverse errors of law.
Let me come at that another way. I mean, the policy behind the unauthorized practice of prohibiting the unauthorized practice of law would be to protect the litigant on the other side of this case, namely the LLC, would presumably get better representation from someone who was a lawyer. And yet the argument that's being made is being made by you on behalf of your client. I guess my question is, isn't there an issue of whether or not your client is actually prejudiced or aggrieved by the fact of unauthorized practice of law? Wouldn't that really be an argument that would have to be made for the other side?
I think that's a fair point. I also believe that the policy behind unauthorized practice of law may also be to protect the public at large. We believe that the rule requiring a corporation to have an attorney speak for it in legal proceedings protects the public at large. A corporation is protected under the law in a variety of circumstances. One of the downsides of being a corporation is you have to have an attorney speak for you so that there's one voice and one voice in legal proceedings.
I guess the point that I'm driving at is actually dramatically demonstrated by this oral argument that we're at this morning, where the non-lawyer does not appear to argue a case before the Supreme Court, which is probably an appropriate course of action for him. But that would be a detriment to his side in the case, presumably, not to yours.
I mean, I would remind the court that the appellant, or appellee, I'm sorry, in this matter is not Mr. Bush, it's Richmond Properties LLC.
No, but I mean, right. Okay, so this really is an issue of first impression, and the court would have to really go beyond what it has ever done in any of the other cases.
I believe that the ground has been laid for such an action in the Dayton Tolan Supply.
And on the substantive issue of the sale, that the sale, your point is not, again, as you said, not that it's not close in time,
right,
but that is it the fact that the property was subdivided into, what, four?
Right.
There was a subdivision, and then there was a recombination of two of the parcels. What's the sequence of events on that?
It started as two, each with an incomplete house on it.
And those were the subject of the purchase?
The subject of the purchase, correct.
Both of those parcels?
Correct.
Okay.
The next year, in 2007, appellee divided it into four parcels. I forget the breakdown, but roughly 6, 4, 4, 6. And then I believe he attempted to sell the properties. The buyer was not happy that two of the parcels were not buildable lots, as appellee had not yet complied with the soil testing requirements for the county. He merged them. I'm sorry. He merged them, and now I believe there are either two or three.
So the first year at issue here is 2007, and I think the record showed the sale was in May of 2006.
Correct.
So the subdivision of the parcels occurred between May of 2006 and January of 2007?
2008, I believe.
Oh, 2008.
So the tax lien is 2008.
Okay. So that argument would not affect the value for tax year 2007?
Correct.
Okay.
There was an increase starting tax lien date 2008. Substantial increase after he split the parcels.
And that was because there were now simply more parcels.
Correct.
That were simply separately valued.
Correct. And the Richmond Properties LLC indicated that they made improvements to the incomplete homes as well.
Is there any other argument you'd like to present?
I'm sorry. I believe we covered the unauthorized practice of law point. We believe that appellee's representative engaged in the unauthorized practice of law, and it was error for the Board of Tax Appeals to overrule our motion in limine, and it was further error for them to consider it in reaching their decision. And we believe that the Board of Tax Appeals indeed adopted the argument presented at the Board of Tax Appeals by the non-attorney representative. Sale, we believe, when looking at a recent arm's length transaction, you not only look at temporal proximity, but the character of the property, as we just discussed. And we believe that it was error for them, for the Board of Tax Appeals, to use that sale as indication of value.
If the court were to accept the unauthorized practice of law argument, and it would have to remand for further proceedings, correct?
That's our request, yes.
Would the court then have to include something in the order that that the property owner would have to hire an attorney or something this time around to make sure that the same error didn't occur again, or what should that remand order look like?
I imagine it would state that the appellee's representative engaged in the unauthorized practice of law at the Board of Tax Appeals on the date of the hearing. The Board of Tax Appeals is instructed to not allow legal arguments at the next hearing, essentially.
If there's anything else, further, Mr. Kearns?
There's nothing further for me, Your Honor. I thank you for the time and the opportunity before the court.
Thank you, Mr. Kearns. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned. Thank you.